We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, lady who does a tremendous job of covering the G-men for MLB.com, she's Mandy Bell. Hi, Mandy.
Hey, Mandy.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good to have you back with us. I'm excited today. It's the Chicago dinner after curfew game, and I'm not sure which guy to bet on. I'm anxious, though, to see Mike Clevenger get back out there and throw a baseball. He's been through an awful lot since he went to San Diego, had the Tommy John surgery and everything else. Interesting pitching matchup, and it's kind of odd that his first game back is against his old team, against the buddy who they got in trouble together with.
Yeah, I mean, I think that incident aside, I think this is a really fun matchup. I think this should be really entertaining, honestly, because you know that those two are going to be chirping at each other and enjoying it. And I think talking to Plesac last, what was it, Sunday before the road trip wrapped up, he said that they'd already been texting all week and they've been thinking about this long term of when this could possibly happen. And they were hoping that whenever the Guardians actually go out to San Diego, that he'd be back in time and it could match up there. But here he is ready to go today in his first outing since 2020. And so the two of them are very excited to be able to go head to head today.
Yeah. How deep did he get into the conversation about what they were they talking smack, or was it just friendly, or was it?
It was more just friendly, and I asked him who's the better trash talker, and he said, oh, definitely Clevenger. I'm terrible at trash talking. So I think that Clevenger has the upper hand there, but I think both of them are just saying how excited they are to be able to go head-to-head against each other and just being more friendly about it.
Where do the Padres think Clevenger is right now? I assume he's on a – is he on a pitch count today? And how far back do they feel like he – can he see a full go, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how they play it. From the way talking to Plesac about it, he said that from hearing his firsthand comments from Clevenger is that he seems to be throwing the ball really hard right now. I don't think Clevenger really has any other way to hold himself back. I think we saw that when he was in Cleveland. He's either full go or not. So I think in his head, he is definitely going to be full go, and he's going to go until they force him to come out of the game.
Mandy Bell joining us. Mandy, I think it's been interesting to see what's going on, not just with our team, but with all of Major League Baseball. Right now, the Guardians are third in all of Major League Baseball in batting average, which you would normally think, hey, that's outstanding. But their team batting average is .251. What's going on with our team, who has had, they've had some great games which have carried those numbers. But what's going on in Major League Baseball right now?
It's really tough to say. I mean, obviously pitching continues to get better. Even regulating the sticky stuff last year, pitching has been dominant over the last few seasons. And so that's a factor, but it's way more right now for some reason. And I don't know if there's something going on with baseballs. I don't know if there's something. I really don't know. I don't know if the whole humidor's thing is going to be affecting that as much, just average in general, not even just power stats. I mean, it really is odd how much it's down across the league. And anytime Tito's really asked about it, he says, I don't really have an answer for it. I don't know how to judge it. He thinks that PitchCom could be having guys a little bit more off balance in the box, because when pitchers are using PitchCom, they are rolling. We've seen Shane Bieber start getting into grooves where it's only like 6 seconds between each pitch. And you see a lot more guys in the box starting to throw their hands up to ask for time. They're a little bit more uncomfortable, a little more unprepared, and maybe that's having more of a domino effect into what their plate appearances result in. But yeah, it's down across the league right now, and it's really strange.
Jose Ramirez, player of the month. Should we expect more walks in his stat line coming up? Because you know, we were watching or we were talking about the game the other day at Oakland. I mean, they don't even have to throw him strikes anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think having a bat like Owen Miller, who's still able to string some hits together, will help at least get around the walks a little bit more and have a few more pitches that he can see that are decent. When Franmo was still behind him during his struggles, I don't see any reason why he would throw anything near the zone to him, because Franmo for a little bit was, I don't want to say an easy out, but he was definitely struggling. And we went through that, what was it, like an 0 for 26, 0 for 27 skid with 18 strikeouts. When you have someone like that behind your best hitter, there's no reason to even get near the zone with him. So I think having guys like Owen Miller behind him, having Stephen Kwan right in front of him, that really gives him a little bit more protection. But yeah, if the offense keeps going streaky the way it has been, and those bad skids, I don't see why he wouldn't be getting walked a ridiculous amount.
Mandy Bell joining us. She covers the G-men for MLB.com. I think it's really interesting. The power numbers aren't there for our team necessarily. You know, you look at the guys in this team, you're not thinking big time power hitters. But it's so interesting that Miller, Jimenez, Kwan, Naylor, off to really pretty good starts, Mandy. Is sustainable? And maybe is it a change in the way the game is going to be played moving forward? Or again, is this just a complete aberration here early in the season?
I think it's hard to tell at this point. I mean, it could be a change, but I think it's really difficult to tell at this point just because it is such a small sample size. I think Stephen Kwan sort of skews that for them just because that's his approach and it's so different from what we've seen over the last few years. So I really do think that maybe just him, that's going to be the future and that's just the way that he's going to be. But I really don't think that maybe the general larger picture of baseball is going to revert back into that approach where it's more for hits than it is for power. I think we're still going to be seeing that for a little bit longer. But for this team specifically, they're going to be scrappy for a little bit. And I think a couple of those guys, maybe Jimenez included with Kwan, that have that approach.
Andy, with Gabe Arias going out, he's obviously not going to be here anytime soon, out with a broken hand. And Jimenez is hitting beautifully right now. How do you see this playing out? You know, because we keep hearing that Jimenez is the best defensive shortstop that's on the roster right now. Yet he's playing a lot of second base, and Amed Rosario not as good defensively, playing maybe a little more shortstop. Are they going to switch those guys? Is Jimenez an answer at shortstop, or are they holding the plays wide open either for Rocchio or for Arias or somebody else?
I think for now it's still pretty open. But I do think that Jimenez will settle in there at some point this season. I think he's going to earn that role. Right now, they're still in the learning phase about so many different guys, and that makes it so difficult. We've seen time and time again over the last year that Rosario hits if he's at shortstop, and they want to make sure that he's not going to be the hitter that he was last year before moving on from them, because between defense and offense, they need more offense than they do defense right now, even though there have been a handful of defensive miscues that have hurt them this season, but they need hits. And so if they're going to get that out of Rosario, if he's at shortstop, then maybe you can handle it a little bit more as having a lesser defensive shortstop at short and having Jimenez over at second. But I do think that Rosario will tail out a little moving forward, and Jimenez will be able to earn that spot at shortstop. And then eventually, if Arias can come back relatively soon, I know that they're still waiting for him to meet with doctors today to get a better evaluation and a timetable for his return. If he can come back and work his way back up to the big leagues, I think he could end up settling in at second base, and that would be a really impressive middle infield.
All right, man, I'm going to put you on the spot. Ready?
Oh, good.
Ready for a good question? Fun one?
All right.
It'll be fun. Did you see the ball that went into the stands in Toronto where the Blue Jays fan handed the ball to the little kid, the Aaron Judge homer? Did you see it? Okay. One, have you ever had a foul ball come to you in the press box? That's my first question.
Not to me. And I guess I can tell the story now because I know he's within an earshot, so I can, make fun of him for a second, but
here we go.
We were in Baltimore and there was a ball that was right beside me hit to Zach Meisel and he had a chance at catching the ball, but didn't get to, make the clean play there. So
my question, did the ball come in the press box?
It did. Yeah. I came right into the press box. Zach tried to make a play. and just ended up with a very sore hand instead.
And did he keep the ball? That's my question.
No, he tossed it into the crowd.
All right, good for him. I'm proud of him. Okay, I just wanted to say
he passed the test.
Yeah, I wanted to see what you would do if a ball came to you in the press box. Would you keep it or would you find a fan?
Oh, so I interned for MLB in 2017, and I was in Baltimore. And that press box setup is so low that you get foul balls in there all the time, and there's a section right in front of you. So every single game, I knew that there was a chance of it, and I would find the little kid before the game would start that I knew that I would be tossing it to. So I was prepared when the moment came, and I wasn't flustered, and I knew exactly who to look for. So
boom. Mandy,
I was ready to go.
We are cut from the same cloth, because I would do the same thing. That's awesome. Good for you. Good for you.
Absolutely.
Well done, Mandy. Well done. Question here on Jose Ramirez. Fabulous that he signs a big contract with the Guardians. Okay, that for him that he took a little less maybe than he would have got on the, or maybe a lot less than he would have got on the open market because he wanted to be here. Is that an aberration? Is it just he liked it here and they liked him enough to pay him some pretty good money? Or is it something that sets a tone for the organization moving forward that, okay, we're willing to pay some pretty good money for a guy? And does it send a message to the rest of the team and maybe the rest of baseball that, okay, maybe you can stay long-term with Cleveland?
Yeah, I think maybe a mix of both. I think it was more showing that Jose really wanted to be in Cleveland because we've seen the types of deals that have been out there over the last few seasons for players of his caliber and how much they can break the bank.
Yeah, they're nuts.
And it really just showed how much he really meant to Cleveland because he could have gotten that similar contract to that. And instead he decided to be able to find a common ground with something that's more affordable for this organization because he wanted to be here. So I think it speaks a lot on him, and it shows that you're able to make those types of commitments as a player whenever it's not completely about the money. But I do think it also opens up the window a little bit more to see that a deal can get done, but it just means that you might need a little bit more willingness on the player's side than other organizations.
Andy, thank you.
Mandy, awesome. And I'm proud of you. Proud of you that you would take that button. You've already scouted out the little kid before.
Oh, I wouldn't even think twice about it.
Good job.
Nice. Thank you, Mandy.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, man.
Reader at MLB.com. She's Mandy Bell. She covers the G-Men.